Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. Episode 440 features Bones and Rhea from the band Tail Gunner. They've just released the album Midnight Blitz. It was produced by the legendary KK Downing of Judas Priest fame. We're going to talk about the album. We're going to talk about all things Tail Gunner up next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Quick reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see work with me, hover over that, and you'll see podcast services and sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. Thank you for checking out this episode of Signals from Mars. Whether you're new to the show, whether you've been here for the last million years like I have, it's greatly appreciated that you support the show, that you listen to the episodes, and hopefully it helps make your day a little bit better. How about that? There's a million other shows you could be watching or listening to, but you choose to listen to this, and I greatly appreciate it. If you want to keep up with the show, just go to signalsfrommars.com. There you'll find all the different places on social media that you could hook up with us, with me, where you could watch or listen to past episodes of the show. You can buy our merch. You can support us on Patreon for as little as $2 a month. And I do want to send a shout out to my patrons, Sean Richmond, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, Johan Edstrom, Metal Dan, Chris Vaglio, Gabriel Ruiz, Mark Striegel, Brad Dahl, Mike Jones, Jeremy Weltman, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Thank you so much for your support. If you're a patron, you can appear on our Patreon specials. You can always vote on the various shows that we do talk about, where we talk about different subjects. Coming up later this month, we're going to be talking about our favorite albums from 1980, and we'll complete the decade of the 80s with that. It should be a fun discussion. So if you do want to vote on your favorite album that came out in 1980, drop me a line, signalsfrommars@signalsfrommars.com. Or any of the social media platforms where you keep up with the show, just send me a direct message and I will gladly accept your list. For this episode, once again, Bones, who's the main person behind Tail Gunner, and Rhea, who, if I'm not mistaken, is the latest member to join the band. We talk about the album Midnight Blitz. We talk about a lot of different things along the way. I do hope that you enjoy the episode. If this is the first time that you've heard about the band, support them. Check their music out. Listen, at the end of every interview, I always ask bands where people can go to put the most amount of money in their pockets. If you enjoy the interview, if you check them out in streaming and think that it's something that you're really going to listen to, pick the album up, support them, let them know that you've listened to this episode. All right. It makes a big difference. Believe me, there are a lot of bands that I've been interviewing lately, and hearing that from the fans has made me receive a lot of pretty cool feedback. So yeah, in any event, support the show, like, subscribe wherever you check out your podcasts, or if you follow us on YouTube, help us get to 1,000 subscribers. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm joined today by Bones and Rhea from the band Tail Gunner. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. So to kick things off here, you guys worked with KK Downing on Midnight Blitz. Whenever someone famous works with a band that's outside of the band, like, instantly you'll have reviewers and people say, oh, well, this sounds just like, in this case, Judas Priest. How many people have mentioned to you so far that have heard the album and said, wow, I can definitely notice the Priest influence in this?
I think for us, people would say that regardless of if we work with KK or not. But we'll never shy away from a Judas Priest comparison. They're one of the greatest bands of all time. So if people want to say that we like Judas Priest, then so be it.
How did KK work with you guys? How engulfed was he in the work? Did he like point you guys in the directions of improving riffs, improving lyrics? How did he work, you know, behind the scenes?
He had quite a hands-on approach, and we're really grateful for his input when we were in the studio with him. He was suggesting a lot of different ideas that we wouldn't have thought of ourselves. Like, he's the one that told us you should write a ballad. I think the biggest thing we learned with him was that no detail is too small. That's definitely the biggest thing I learned, because he was always just suggesting, like, let's put a dive bomb in this verse section. Let's add something else to this. And so it really helped bring the tracks to life.
Okay. How did the pairing come about initially? Was that, I mean, I know you guys toured with him at one point with KK's Priest. Did you approach him? Did the label suggest it?
He heard our debut EP, Crash Dive, that came out in December 2022. Someone got that EP to him and he heard it and loved it, and he invited us to open the first KK's Priest show alongside Paul Di'Anno. Perfect lineup for us.
Wow.
You know, we stayed in touch and did the UK tour with him in the summer of 2024. And when it came time to make this new record, we knew we wanted a producer and we wanted someone with that experience. And obviously, KK co-produced all those classic Priest records alongside Halford, Tipton and Tom Allen. And, you know, we found ourselves in this very cool, surreal scenario where it's like, well, we're friends with KK Downing. Why don't we just call him and ask? And, you know, I did, and spent a couple of days back and forth on the phone with him. And he was into the project. And, you know, we're very grateful for that. I think it turned out really cool.
Cool. Was there any hesitation initially? Were you guys, you know, scared that he might not want to work with you guys, or was it always just positive from the start? You know, we're going to get this guy. He's going to work with us.
Pretty much. I mean, the first time we met KK, he said he'd been waiting for a band like us to come along since early Def Leppard. And, you know, that's exactly the vindication that we need. It's exactly what we're trying to achieve. And I think he really sees what we're trying to do and wants to be a part of it. And, you know, in my eyes, he is the true defender of the faith, because he cares about heavy metal and he cares about the longevity and the legacy and having new bands come along. So I think he was just same as us, just waiting for a band like us to come along to be a part of something like that.
It's interesting that you bring that up because I've interviewed a bunch of bands over the years from the UK that have said, you know, there's no other band that's doing this right now, so we need to do this. And all those bands have one way or another come apart, disappeared. Members have gone on to other projects. What do you think sets Tailgunner apart from some of those bands that will give you guys the longevity to carry on?
Pure, unfiltered stubbornness.
You need that.
You do. I mean, it's like Lemmy said, the best way to keep going is to not stop. And it's absolutely right.
Right. No, that's perfect. I think with anything like what you guys are doing, you need that. You need to want to continue to go because it's not easy. I mean, obviously we hear all the stories nowadays. Oh, well, you know, we're a young band. We can't move forward. We can't make this much money like they did back then. But there are bands that are still making it, you know, not to the same extent, but you know, there are still bands that are able to carry on and create a career out of this. So, I mean, I agree with what you're saying.
I think for me, and I'm sure Rhea will be able to relate to this, is when I was growing up, you know, I was from day one into Maiden, AC/DC, Dio, Priest, Motorhead, Saxon, you name it. And I remember being 12 years old and wearing, you know, leather jacket and studs and playing a BC Rich Warlock bass and whatever. And you're deluded at that time anyway, because you're a kid and, you know, you're like, yeah, I'm going to be a rock star. And then you turn up and you play a local show and, you know, there's people there. And in those days, at that stage, you'll be a rock band and you'll play alongside a band that sounds like Oasis and a band that sounds like whoever, you know. I remember people going, oh, they've got long hair, oh, they play pointy guitars, oh, you know, it's a bit of a joke and whatever. And I think spite is a hell of a motivator. And I look back at those people now and I just think, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty true. That's the nonsense of the various scenes. I think if you're a good band, you're going to carry on either way, you know, regardless of image, regardless of whatever. If you don't have the music to go with it, in the end, it's, you know, you're not going to move forward. You guys released the EP and you guys released Guns for Hire. Before starting to record the material or starting to write the material for Midnight Blitz, was there anything that you guys said, you know what? I want to do this on Midnight Blitz. I want to take it to this level by doing this specific thing.
Well, for the second album, especially with the title track of the album, we needed something that was just a massive step up from the stuff that we wrote on the debut album. And that's what we wanted to sell across in Midnight Blitz. And you can hear it in all parts of the track, really, for me. The guitars, the solos anyway. I mean, I know I didn't write the first album, the guitars in the first album, but even so, the solos that I was putting forward for Midnight Blitz, Tom was constantly like, no, it needs to be better, it needs to be faster. And so I was pushing myself to write something like that. And then everybody else was doing the same thing. And that's the theme for the entire album, just not just the first single. It's just a massive step up.
So for you, Rhea, how important was it to be the first time that you're writing with the band, to be recording with the band, to put your stamp on the music itself?
It was really important. I wanted to do the best that I could do. I mean, I definitely pushed myself and I'm really happy with the results from it. Yeah.
Okay. There's definitely a British heavy metal axe. Influence on the album, but there are other things instantly from listening to it. I instantly get a vibe of like old Halloween, for example. Yeah, you're smiling. but yeah, that obviously is an influence. If you're smiling back, I'm picking up, you know, where you're coming from.
Halloween are the reason why I started Tail Gunner. Obviously, everyone thinks with the name that it's Maiden. And, of course, Maiden are huge for us, as are Priest, as are so many bands. But Halloween really changed everything for me. When I heard those first three albums, The Walls of Jericho and The Two Keepers, totally blew my mind. I went to see them live on the Pumpkins United tour. And, you know, I already wanted to be a musician and everything. But that was the moment where I said, God, I need to put together a band in this kind of style. And, you know, we're definitely a British heavy metal band. I think, you know, no one can be mistaken about that. But Halloween are a huge influence for us. And it's always nice when people recognize that through the music.
Oh, yeah. Those first two Keepers albums, being someone that grew up in the States and would spend their summers in Europe. I mean, there was no coverage in the States at that point. For Halloween, and then coming over to Europe and then having a friend say, you need to listen to this, and just changing so many things. And a lot of times for me nowadays, I listen to bands that try to do the same style, and it just forces me to go back to listen to those Keepers albums to say, yeah, that's cool. But, and I think then, the neat part about what you guys have done with Midnight Blitz is that, yes, you notice the influence, but it's not a direct copy.
That was really important to us, actually, just from day one. And, you know, I think the thing with Halloween and the Keeper records and why they're so incredible and why I love Halloween so much is that they're not just doing one thing. Those records really prove to me that you can play epic power metal tracks of, you know, however many minutes long. You can write commercial radio kind of hits in metal. You can write the thrash songs. You can write the ballads. You can be so creative and it coexists and be one concise thing on one record like it is on the Keepers albums. And that was really a big, like I say, a huge moment for me. And what we're about as well as a band is we can do whatever we want to do. We can be whoever we want to be, but at the heart of it, it's always Tail Gunner. And, you know, I have Halloween to thank for that.
Okay. And you've been the catalyst to get all this together. You just mentioned it. How challenging was it for you to get four members that were going to see your vision, that you were going to be able to get along with, and to be able to put this music together?
It was extremely challenging. Extremely challenging. It took 2 years to get the first lineup together. And, you know, I posted all over social media. I posted flyers in metal bars and guitar shops and spoke to people from the UK and all over Europe. And it took a long time to put it together. It's very difficult. And, you know, I knew what I wanted and I knew what this band had to be in terms of the ability of people, in terms of, you know, characteristics and, you know, how we get along and how we operate. And also, you know, people don't like to say it, but the look of a band is important. And, you know, I wanted people that embodied what we're trying to do as a heavy metal band. So took some time.
Okay. Rhea, how did you get involved with the band?
I supported Tail Gunner on their UK tour with my old band that I was in at the time in Liverpool in the UK. And then I saw that they fired their old guitarist and they had a festival to play in like a matter of like 3 days. So I messaged Tom, reached out and I said that I'll be happy to learn the set and fill in for the festival. And so I did that. And then I filled in for a few more dates over the summer, including the Steel Mill gig with Paul Di'Anno and KK. And then they kept me long term. Cool.
Was there ever a doubt at the beginning to keep her in the band? Or were you still contemplating maybe other moves? Or did you know from the start that musically she could do it, but you wanted to make sure that she was kind of going to fit the rest of the band's vibe?
I think we were in such a rush at the start. You know, when, like Rhea said, we had to fire the first guitarist on a Monday and we played the festival with her on a Sunday. And then I said to Rhea, you know, we were going to hold auditions just because, you know, you don't marry the first person that you sleep with. And it's the same in a band, you know, so we had to see how does it sound with other people. And then we realized very quickly that Rhea was quite far beyond anyone else that we auditioned. So once we played with a couple of other people, we knew very quick that she was definitely the right choice.
Okay. Rhea, how many years had you been playing out with semi-serious bands before joining Tail Gunner?
I'm playing in bands since I was around like 13. And so that's 8 years.
Okay.
8 years I've been in and out of bands. I've been before Tail Gunner, I've been in and out of a lot of different bands. Yeah.
Have you found it challenging to be in the metal scene being a female? Has that never really mattered with bands?
No, it doesn't. It's not challenging in the way that, like, I never feel like I have to prove anything. But it's challenging sometimes. Other people are challenging and how they can treat you. But in general, I haven't had quite lucky. I've not really had much of that. And to be fair, ever since I was growing up playing guitar, I've always been in bands with men because, you know, it's a very male dominated area. So it doesn't feel weird for me. And it's never felt weird to be in a band full of five men. It's just how it is a lot of the time. And yeah, that's okay. It really.
And Bones, you were in and out of bands previous to Tail Gunner as well. How, you know, you mentioned that Halloween show as kind of being the point that made you want to start this band. Previous to that, were you still just kind of finding your way, figuring out exactly what you wanted to do? Or did you already have like an idea in the back of your mind that this was a possibility?
Tail Gunner is the band that I've always wanted to be in since I was a kid, but it took years to get that together and to actually even realize that it was possible. I think until it really came together, I didn't know if it was possible, but I got to the point where I thought, well, I might as well try, because I played in different bands and all sorts of different styles. And yeah, like I say, after the band I was in before this one, well, I was going to say split up. They didn't split up. I left. I was really at a point where it's like, well, I might as well just try and do the thing that I've always wanted to do. And, you know, that's how this really came to be. So it's been in my mind since I was a little kid. But yeah, it took a long time to realize that it was possible.
Okay. And you guys have done a bunch of shows with Hammerfall. You've been doing a bunch of shows. We mentioned before we started recording that you've got another date left. How has their audience treated you guys?
Amazingly. The tour we've just done with them was, you know, probably the greatest tour we've been on in terms of the crowd reaction for us as a support band. I mean, I think being on the road with Hammerfall was a perfect fit for us. Their audiences were unbelievable, especially in Spain. Just amazing. Felt like we were headlining every night, you know, which was really cool. And Hammerfall as a band themselves and their crew, you know, the bus driver, the tour manager, looked after us incredibly well, made us feel so welcome and helped us to be on the road so much. And, you know, we never felt like a support band. It felt like there was two bands out there together to just go kill every night and to help each other in any way that we could. So we love those guys, and, you know, we hope to do that again very, very soon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Does this kind of help facilitate a future tour with them due to how well these shows went down?
Definitely. We spoke about it already, so, you know, I can't say too much, but let's wait and see. And, yeah, hopefully we'll be back out on the road with them.
Yeah, because for a band like that, I mean, if you guys are going down like that with their crowd going over well, and again, when it comes down to personalities and everything else, you guys are getting along, there's nothing behind the scenes. I mean, those types of bands are going to want to work with you because they're like, all right, well, We know them. There's no mysteries. And they're going to bring it every night. So we know that when we hit the stage, our crowd is going to be hot for us because of them.
Exactly. We definitely got those crowds nice and warmed up every night. And, you know, added something new to our set. Rhea wasn't actually on the road with us, but she'll find out. But we've got them nice and boozy every night as well in the last song. So it's a lot of fun.
Cool. You also have a bunch of festival dates this summer. You're playing a lot of pretty big festivals, from Sweden Rock to Download and a bunch of others. And I know that followers of my podcast are going to be at some of these shows, specifically Sweden Rock. And I know that a few of them tend to be at some of the UK festivals. How different is it to see you guys on a big stage like that at a festival as opposed to seeing you at a club show?
Well, for a start, with the big festivals, we can go a bit more all out with the production and we can have fire, which I'm pretty sure we can't do with club shows legally anyway. But with the club shows, for me, how it feels for me is it's a lot more intimate, especially when there's no barrier. You know, you've got people jumping up on stage, you've got people stage diving. It's a lot more chaotic. I prefer club shows for that reason. It's a lot more intimate with the fans. And then festivals, especially open air festivals, feel a lot more like you can kind of sit back and watch the crowd. It doesn't feel as intimate. It's not a bad thing. It's cool and it looks really cool as well. And it's nice to play outside and not be sweating, as the clubs are just like horrendously warm. But I prefer the club shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any of these festivals that you guys have seen from the other side where before playing in Tail Gunner, you've been at them to see other bands and now you're kind of going to be on the other side?
I've not actually been to many festivals. I didn't really go to much festivals at all, really. Apart from, I've been to Download once when I was younger, and I know we're playing that in June, so that's going to be really, really cool to play. I'm looking forward to that one.
Okay. You guys have after the festival, so you have the rest of the year to go, so that's, I mean, just up until the summer. If you guys could put any tour together where you guys could open for anyone, who would you want to go out with?
Well, we have a big tour actually to announce for post-summer. Okay. So I'm looking forward to getting that out into the world. And it's definitely one of the bands on my bucket list, one of my favorite bands. So I'll say them, and you know, it remains to be seen by everyone who it is that I'm talking about, but it'll be there pretty soon.
Makes sense. You guys covered Metallica's Hit the Lights on a recent compilation. How did that come about and why that song?
That came about because we played, there's a legendary club in London called The Underworld, and we, you know, virtually sold it out touring the debut album, and to do that on a debut is, you know, pretty cool. And people really paid attention to that, including the label that put out that Metallica compilation. And it was really as simple as they just asked us if we wanted to be a part of it and wanted to take the opening track, Hit the Lights. And of course, you know, to be on an album alongside the likes of Saxon and Diamond Head and Raven and so many cool bands, you know, Motorhead as well, of course, and to have the opening song, I mean, there's no way we could say no. And I think it's really cool that Metallica came up worshipping the new album and British heavy metal, and now years later, you know, here's a British band covering Metallica and really paying it back, and it's kind of like a full circle moment, so it's really cool.
Yeah, and it actually doesn't stray from what you guys do either. I mean, it's not as if you were going to throw that into your set list, that it wouldn't fit right in, because it's, as you're saying, the influences are all, you're all drinking from the same well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Where can people go to pick up the album and ensure that the most amount of money goes back into the band's pockets?
Oh, from anywhere that they usually buy their records, really. I mean, obviously, we're with Napalm and the distribution's great. It was something really important to us. So wherever people normally get records, go feel free to pick it up from there. And yeah, I'm sure as long as it gets to them, we're happy.
Okay. And where should people go to keep up with the band?
On social media, on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, or if you just Google search Tail Gunner, you know, thank God we're the first result. So we're pretty easy to find.
All right. Awesome. I appreciate your time today. Was a lot of fun talking to you, and wish you guys luck with 2026 and Tail Gunner. The album does come out February 6th. So just thanks again for joining me here on the show.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Great, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Catch you later.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.